save that in there.
Yeah, you were. All right. Gotta get that out.
I'm getting the technology going here.
Mm.
I'm enjoying this drink. I like this. I think it's a good combo.
I don't taste the cherry as much as I thought I would.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely there for me. Do you think there's too much lime in it then?
Yeah, it's the lime or the amount of tonic. I don't know. Whatever. It's good. I'll enjoy it.
Well, all right.
don't worry too much about it.
I'm enjoying it. What we have here is a gin from Dillon's in Canada.
Canada.
A Canadian gin. And this is the same Dillon's that makes that rose gin that mm-hmm. we're so fond of.
It is excellent.
It is excellent. And this is their cherry version, which we actually couldn't find in the U.S., so we had to get this on our little trip to Toronto.
But Dillon's, in general, is available in the U.S.
Yes.
So listeners
but
can go
But I haven't
go
been able
get...
to find the cherry stuff here.
Okay.
Or anybody to order it for me, even.
You looked online?
I went to... There's you can go to any one of our fine... local booze establishments.
So you've been retailers. To liquor stores with Dillon's in stock and they couldn't order this one for you?
Yeah, I was able to order the rose gin, but not the cherry gin.
Interesting. Okay, so that's just really limited to Canada, apparently.
Yeah, and there's this really great place, I'll plug it, in Victor. I forget the name of it. It's a place that's on, it's on 96, so as you're like going, before you hit Victor.
So between... After the mall?
Yeah, after the mall.
So between Eastview Mall and Victor.
After Denny's and Chili's, you're driving and it's there in like a really small little strip mall. Not even like three or four different things.
Mm-hmm. This is a strip mall.
Yeah, it's a little strip and it's there on the right side. And I forget the name of it, but they're an excellent place and they're great about ordering stuff.
Nice.
Very very reasonably priced things.
What else is in the drink?
The Fentimans tonic water and some lime. So I was thinking lime and cherry should go together pretty well.
Fever Tree.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Right, Fever Tree. Fever Tree, not Fentimans.
Because they have different flavor profiles. So
yeah. So I might go with a drier tonic than that next time.
Yeah, I would too.
I think the lime is playing okay with the cherry, but I'm getting a little too much sweet from the tonic this time.
Yeah, the tonic's overwhelming the cherry for me. I get the cherry in the back end, but... Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are...
S. Michael Smith, and you are...
M. Michael Carassi, and today we are going to break Smike down to his component parts.
Yeah.
Using motherfucking science.
So what we've done here, I guess I'll just jump into it.
Yeah.
Rather than talking about anything else today. anything fun like the horrible ingrown toenail I had this morning.
Oh, wow. Yeah, let's not hear all about that.
I could go into excruciating detail on that.
Wow. Yeah,
but
I could talk
I guess
all about
I won't.
The spreadsheets I worked on today, too, if you really want to go that route.
So there's this website, company, whatever, called 23andMe, which is the 23 pairs of chromosomes. And they do genetic analysis, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had this done.
Yes.
Right?
I've got my results right here to compare after you get yours.
You've got your low-tech copy of it right there.
Fuck you. You know what's not going to die, battery-wise? Paper, bitch!
Well, anyway, I didn't kill so many trees for this. But I have not actually seen this.
That a mercury in your laptop is killing more trees.
Whatever. So, the analysis for me is done.
Mm-hmm. You've been waiting for a while.
Yeah, we sent it in. It was done, like, just a couple days ago. And I have not looked at any of it yet.
Wow.
I do know a little bit. I think I know that, you know, I'm not going to die in the next couple of weeks.
That's
according
good.
To this.
You looked.
They're
looked
telling
at that
me
part,
they're
right?
not going to tell me that I'm going to. Yeah, because they would have. I think if there's anything terrible, they contact you via a counselor before giving you the results. That's my understanding. So it's probably not too terrible. Whatever's in here,
we'll see.
But I really have no idea. So I'm looking at the information here. I'm on their website. And I've got ancestry, carrier status, genetic health risk, traits, wellness. Not much else. So let's start with the more boring stuff. Let's go into carrier status.
All right. What are you carrying?
What am I carrying? What am I packing here? And jump into this. Oh, they logged me out. I'm not.
You're not carrying anything.
I'm not carrying a login right now. But I am carrying a drink.
This is very brave of you. You're just sharing your genetic information with the world.
I am. All right, so here we go. My carrier status report. And so far, I am not carrying anything. Okay. So there's this huge list of different things that I could possibly be carrying.
Sjögren-Larsen syndrome.
Sickle cell anemia.
Tyson anemia type 1.
Zellweger syndrome spectrum.
Oh, Usher syndrome. Type 1F and 3A.
Yeah, I know. I don't have any Usher in me.
Nope, no Usher.
Nope.
Do you want some?
Maybe later. So that was kind of a bust, but in a good way.
That is the kind of bust you want.
Yes. Nothing exciting to report here.
How does it tell you that you don't have that?
It just says no variant not detected.
I find that interesting.
Yeah, it's very, very technical sounding.
But they are quick to point out that you might still be a carrier. You just don't have any of the variants that they're aware of.
Right, yeah. Any of the known variants. So this can be updated later, right?
So it's constantly updated.
As they learn new things, your website, your data will be updated. So you could go in and check. When's the last time you actually checked?
It's been a month or two. I'm sure there's new tests.
So there could be new stuff out there for you.
Every time we've gone and looked, there's something new. And people will start finding you. Relatives will start finding you on here.
All right, let's go to the scary one here. Genetic health risk.
There's six possible ones that you could have.
Yeah, I've got six records. This is like looking at Carfax, only for me. We've got six reported...
accidents on here.
Maybe not accidents. Incidents.
Incidents.
Not sure if they're good or bad.
Well, I'm just going to have to kick the tires here, because... yeah.
Let's see what we got. Not great.
Oh.
Late onset Alzheimer's disease. I have a slightly increased risk. Slightly.
Okay.
I don't know if there's sugarcoating in here.
Well, click on it. I mean, what's slightly? 2% or 20%?
I don't know.
It's a pretty wide gamut.
I have one copy of the... Whatever that...
Sigma?
Sure.
No, whatever that is.
Sigma 4, the something 4 variant we tested.
Epsilon 4.
Okay. People with this variant have a slightly increased risk of developing late onset Alzheimer's disease. Lifestyle, environment, and other factors can also affect your risk.
Oh, you're going to get it no matter what then. You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably a lot more concerned about my lifestyle and environment than anything else for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's not great, not killer, nothing I'm going to lose any sleep over.
That's probably good, but you know.
Well, I mean, unless I, you know, once I do have Alzheimer's, I'll probably be losing a lot of sleep.
But you won't remember.
Right.
So it's not a problem. It's you win either way.
Age-related macular degeneration.
Your eyes don't work.
Well, I already know that's going on.
Ooh.
Age-related macular degeneration, AMD, is the most common cause of irreversible vision loss among older adults. Disease results in damage to the central part of the retina, the macula, impairing vision needed for reading, driving, or even recognizing faces. And my eyesight has been deteriorating for decades now.
And that's...
I think I got my first pair of glasses when I was around, like, 23 or so.
Oh, I had my first pair of glasses when I was, like, 12.
Okay.
I don't think that's that bad.
Yeah, they weren't that bad when I got them, but things have been getting gradually worse.
Sure.
I do go for regular eye checkups, which I think everyone should. It's recommended to go, like, at least once every 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Depends. It depends on if you're high risk or not. If you're high risk, you should go every year. Otherwise, you should go every 2 years.
All right. So I go every 2 years. And I do have, you know, my vision has been decreasing, but it's not like rapidly decreasing. It's kind of leveling off as just sucky.
It's just lame. Well, that's what's supposed to happen. Like a lot of people experience... not macular degeneration so much as just, you know, a decrease in the effectiveness of their eyesight, and then that levels off after a point. That's what a doctor told me years ago.
Yeah. So I have two copies of a genetic variant that they have tested. People with this result have a slightly increased risk of developing AMD. Lifestyle okay. and other factors can also affect your risk.
Kind of so much backpedaling, there. Yeah.
All right. That's not a huge one. Hereditary hemochromatosis. Variant detected, not likely at increased risk.
So, like, it could happen, but it's not really going to push it along.
I've got something, but it's not... Yeah, it seems pretty... What the hell is this? Hereditary hemochromatosis is a genetic condition characterized by absorption of too much dietary iron. Whoa.
Dude, you got to lay off the iron, bro. Stop pumping that iron.
This may lead to iron overload.
Whoa, iron overload. Yeah.
That is a power that I think I would like to have. If I could, you know, only have it on at certain times.
Right, right.
If exactly. I could just go into iron overload and then, like, be okay for, you know, afterwards.
Afterwards. Or, you know, have a little lull. An iron lull after the fact. But not while you're going through a metal detector, because that's going to be a problem. No iron overloads that you're doing that.
So, iron overload can cause damage to the joints and certain organs such as the liver, skin, heart, and pancreas. All right. So, that's the price you pay for going into iron overload.
Hey, man, no one said iron overload was not going to have a cost.
But not much of an increased risk there.
That's right. Funny. So, it's far, yeah, you know, don't worry about it.
So far, not too bad. Parkinson's disease... Variants not detected. Big high five there.
Damn. Woo. Booyah.
Yeah. My grandfather on my mother's side actually had Parkinson's.
Oh, wow.
So that was definitely a concern for me.
When did it start?
Do
you remember?
I want to say when he was like in his 60s.
Oh, okay. That's
so it wasn't like an early onset in right. that case.
Like Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is definitely... Definitely not a bad thing.
Good,
to see
I'm glad. Good. Yeah, I could see the relief on your face.
Yeah, that was one. Yeah, probably my top concern. Alpha 1 antitrypsin deficiency, whatever. Variant not detected. I don't care what it is.
Doesn't matter because you don't have to worry about it.
Hereditary thrombophilia. Is that like that blood clotting? Probably.
I think it's when you feel a compulsion to have sex with a trombone.
Or the dead corpse of, no, I don't know.
Trombone?
I was trying to make a thrum in there, but no.
Strom Thurmond?
Yeah, I know. That was what I was thinking, but no, that's not quite.
Too much of a stretch.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it anyway.
All right.
The hereditary need to have sex with the corpse of Strom Thurmond.
The reanimated corpse. Oh, just normal Strom Thurmond then.
Variant not detected.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
There's only six.
There's only six that they know of.
Well, that's cool.
I'm cool with that.
I am definitely cool with that. So we got that. Let's jump to wellness.
Okay, yeah, because...
I'm saving ancestry.
Yeah, that's fun to talk about beforehand and then see...
And then traits. Should we...
Do wellness, then we'll do traits. Okay. And then,
well, I was going to do ancestry before traits because I think traits is going to be the more interesting one for me.
Okay, just don't do ancestry till we stop and talk a bit.
Okay. So wellness reports, genetic weight... Predisposed to weigh less than average. Nah, I don't know.
Sweet.
I
found these to be the least accurate for me as well.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Now I'm definitely overweight. Not, you know, hideously so. Perhaps if I didn't have this predisposition, I'd be in even worse shape.
That's true. Maybe it's saving your life. Maybe it's keeping the thrombosis Strom Thurmond sex out of your life.
My lactose intolerant. I am likely tolerant. And I am very tolerant.
I tolerate
the shit out of lactose. That's true though, because I one of my typical evening meals is literally just a bowl of cereal.
Yeah,
but with a banana, so I can protect myself.
That has to do with the lifestyle thing we just talked about. By the way, lifestyle and diet.
But I've gotten better, so I put the banana in there.
Oh, good. Okay.
So it's a step up from what it used to be, believe me.
Okay, good.
Saturated fat and weight, likely similar weight. I'm not sure what that means.
Was it saturated fat, saturated weight? I don't understand.
Means anything.
That sounds dumb.
Your weight is likely to be similar on diets high or low in saturated fat with the same number of total calories. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
No. So you don't react to...
Yeah, I don't pack on the pounds if I have a lot of saturated fat in my diet relative to other things. That's kind of cool, I think.
Yeah. Because it means that we got to start eating shittier, man.
Well, no, it's not that. But it's kind of the way I've been like trying to do is to do less sugar.
Okay.
But not worry so much about the fats.
That is the core of my diet.
Okay.
Which I fail at miserably.
So you must have the same thing where you're not really affected by saturated fat.
This. And I'm pointing to my body here.
Yes.
The shape I'm in involves me burning 3,000 calories a day.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. I'll check because I think some of this stuff is new. Or if it's not, I don't remember what my results were. So I just brought it up, actually. So
But this sort of signals to me that, going for trying to watch out for sugars and caring less about fats is probably not a bad thing for me to do.
I would say that...
Or anyone, really.
Well, there's a type of person... I made this mistake when people started asking me about the bulletproof thing. Mm-hmm. There is a type of person that this is a problem for.
Right, and it would probably come up in
it
here.
It would come up
in
here.
Be more affected by the saturated fats.
And there are certain medications that do it as well.
Okay.
So the minute you start mixing drugs... But I will say that I've done a lot of research on this.
Yeah.
Everything I have read that's pro-paleo... I mean, obviously there's people who aren't going to be against it... have said that cut sugar out. If your saturated fat is coming from natural sources, it is healthy. It is straight up not just okay. It is straight up healthy for you. Because, you know, fat is good for mitochondrial growth or mitochondrial maintenance. Like, there's a lot of things that cholesterol and fat do for you that are good that just got maligned. So, yeah, this is a good thing for you.
All right. I'll take it. I'll take everything I can get here. Come on. A little bit slow here. Alcohol flush reaction, unlikely to flush.
That is, it's known for Asian people to be an issue. I don't know beyond that. Yeah, you didn't know about this?
No.
Yeah, there was a whole episode of Fresh Off the Boat, like where the dad had to sit his son down and like have the flush conversation.
So what exactly is that? Because is it just getting like a red face and red nose and everything?
Oh, it's much worse than that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it can be like a straight up like rash kind of attack kind of thing. It depends on how strong the reaction is.
Oh.
But yeah, a lot of, and I don't know if it's certain like genetic backgrounds as far as, you know, what type of Asian background you have, Chinese versus Japanese or whatever. But I know that a lot of Asians have some flush reaction and it can be pretty severe to the point where it's like itchy and rashy and really uncomfortable for people.
Wow.
Yeah.
I really
it's not something that you or I would deal with, you know, being more Caucasoid.
All right. My caffeine consumption, this is interesting.
Huh.
So what makes some people caffeine fanatics while others go easy on the Java?
Yeah,
Genetic factors help explain how much caffeine people tend to consume. Based on my genetics, I am likely to drink slightly less caffeine than average if I drink caffeine at all.
And you don't?
Or you not drink usually. I definitely don't drink coffee.
I mean, you'll have some matcha.
Yeah, I'll have some matcha.
Who won't have some matcha? I mean, really.
And I do not drink that much caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
I do, when I have something, I'll usually get like a... Like the 20-ounce bottle of a diet something with caffeine in it at work. And I'll drink like half of it in a day.
Huh, okay.
Because I don't want to have that much
artificial sweetener in you?
Well, any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually more something I do, like if I happen to be especially tired,
mm-hmm.
I'll have a good portion of it before I drive home.
Okay.
Because I don't want to...
You just want to get home.
I really just want to get home.
Do you use caffeine when you get a migraine?
Yes, that's the other part.
Okay.
And it's it's in the Excedrin that I take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the secret ingredient in Excedrin.
Well, that's one of them. It's caffeine, aspirin, and Tylenol, basically.
Huh.
Acetaminophen, is that Tylenol, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So it's those three things.
It's the stuff that kills babies.
Yeah, it's a baby-killing cocktail. Yeah,
it's a baby-killing cocktail.
But I don't care about no babies.
No, you ain't gotta worry about what kills babies ain't gonna kill you.
And I used to drink a lot more caffeine. I'm pretty, when I was in college, of course. Everybody,
I feel like everyone, yeah, and you're like teens and 20s.
And one of the reasons that I don't drink it that often, though, is that I think by having less of it in my system normally,
mm-hmm.
I think when I need that Excedrin boost, it's a little more potent for me.
Sure.
But there we go. So this is...
That's interesting. That aligns, yeah.
Deep sleep. Less likely to be a deep sleeper.
I believe that.
Yeah, I can go along with that.
Whoa, Delta Waves. Erica should look at this. I don't remember Delta Waves before.
No. Several studies have linked a genetic variant in the ADA gene to differences in a certain type of brain activity that characterizes deep sleep called Delta Waves. People with your genetic result have Delta Waves that are about as strong as average and also tend to feel less sleepy than deep sleepers after a night of missed sleep. I do sleep a lot less than I think I should. And
that might help explain it.
That might help explain it.
Also, you tend to be up late looking at screens.
Well,
which is bad but that's sleep not hygiene.
I don't have any problem falling asleep, mm-hmm. is the thing.
Okay.
I'll go to sleep within just a few minutes of getting in bed.
Wow. I don't, yeah.
I know. You're so jealous.
I'm so jealous. My mom can do that. And I'm like, what? But the quality of your sleep may not be great. But I don't know.
It's not. But that may be other issues.
I don't, yeah. I always thought the screen. Because
I do have like a back pain issue.
I always thought the screen thing was about falling asleep. I didn't know.
That's what I would
think. I don't think it affects the quality of your sleep. So that's your back or whatever.
So there's some genetic thing that is I'm a little bit less likely to be in deep sleep.
I would argue that evolutionarily, that's probably a positive. Because your brain's like slightly less likely to be taken off guard. You're more likely to wake up. Saber-tooth tiger attacks? Yeah. You're like, rather than being...
I'm good. There's my spear. I'm ready.
Ready.
Let's go. Let's go.
Bring it, toothy tiger.
Thought you'd get a free snack here.
Not this day.
Not today.
Not today.
Not tonight.
Not this night.
Muscle composition.
Oh, this should be interesting.
Your genetic muscle composition is uncommon in elite power athletes.
That is the nicest way I've ever seen to tell someone they don't have a lot of muscle. They're not predisposed to have muscle.
I'm not saying
can I
go ahead.
So Mike, thank you for coming in. We did some tests after your physical, and I'm happy to tell you that I'm not seeing a lot to worry about.
Oh, good.
One thing, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I just thought you might be interested to know your genetic muscle composition.
Yeah,
is,
it's great, isn't it?
Well, yes. It's uncommon in elite power athletes.
Wait, what does that mean?
It's just.
You're saying I'm uncommon?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
If I were to take a power athlete. An elite power athlete.
It's like maybe several of them, or a bunch of them.
I would not want to really emphasize this, but if you wanted to line up three or four, sure. Okay. So we lined up three or four elite power athletes and put them next to you.
But maybe one of them would have the same muscle as me.
I mean, at that point, you're playing the statistics game, so I guess it's possible.
Okay, so I would be like in the elite of elite power athletes.
That is not actually in any way what I just said.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. Take that as you will.
Uncommon.
Uncommon. Yeah. We really let them down easy at 23.
I'm no common power athlete. I'm an uncommon power athlete.
I really want that to say Power Ranger.
Sleep movement. Likely average or less movement. I think my wife would probably disagree with that.
Are you just waving around, slapping shit?
I have always been a flailer.
Hmm.
So that one is a little off.
Like I said, I didn't agree with what ones I had.
Yeah, a lot of these are spot on. Lactose intolerant, definitely no issue there. All right, so we got I think traits is going to be more interesting.
Okay, so before we get into ancestry,
okay,
I always find this interesting, especially because I was so surprised by my results. What were you told growing up? Like when your parents said you are this?
I honestly wasn't told much.
Interesting.
I know. It's like I never got the stories of, well, our family came from Ireland on the second ship after the Mayflower.
The Queen Mary.
Yes. And, you know, I never got into these like stories about family history.
Huh.
And I'm not sure why. I think, you know, both sides of my family are not super well connected. Like, we didn't live, when I was growing up, when I mm-hmm. was a kid, we didn't live really near other family.
Okay.
So yeah. I was always kind of, extended family was always like, it was, they were out there, but I was never like close to them or anything.
Okay.
I would go like, visit grandparents or, you know, visit, an aunt or uncle or something, but that would always be like a rare special occasion sort of thing.
But what are your parents?
White.
I mean, they never said I'm Irish or I'm English.
I've literally asked this and they're like, oh.
Wow.
I know, it's a little weird.
So you have no preconception other than like vaguely Anglo-Saxon.
Anglo-Saxon. I've heard mention of Welsh in there somewhere.
We've heard tales of the Welsh being involved.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at the family names, there's like Sparks, Smith, and Jones.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, super generic.
Super white. Unidentified body washes up on the shore. You're going to get one of those last names attached.
Yeah.
To it. Okay. Got
yeah.
It.
So right. I really don't know what to expect.
All right. It
could be anything in here. So should we go into Ancestry?
Yeah,
now?
Let's do Ancestry. Now I'm curious.
Do you want to place any bets here?
I mean, European is probably safe.
you think?
I'm gonna come up. Let's see. I gotta come up with some kind of curveball. So I'm gonna say that you have a higher than average percentage, or you have a higher than expected amount of Turkish in you. And I only said that as you were drinking because I wanted to spit big.
So all right.
My money's on Turkish.
All right. Show me Turkish. All right. 81% British and Irish.
Wow, that is hardcore Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah, that is pretty hardcore.
So yeah, dive into that.
All right, we're going to dive into ancestry composition.
So if I do recommend, for our listeners at home, I really recommend doing this. It's about $100. It's my wife got it for me as a Christmas present, which was really fun. You do have to pay extra for the genetic markers thing, so it's really like the genetic... composition and ancestry, but wow, that is really centered really, in one pretty small area.
It is just Europe.
Damn.
I mean, there's nothing else.
But when you're on this site, when you pay for this service, it's amazing. There's so much like interesting information they tell you, like Neanderthal traits and all sorts of stuff we haven't gotten into yet. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun to spend time on this. How is that possible? How is that possible? Holy shit. Mike, you're pure. You're motherfucking pure. You are 99.9% uncut, street legal motherfucking European. I've seen a number of these. I've never seen anyone that just straight European. You are the most boring white guy I've ever met in my life. I mean, I knew that, but still. So you're
really not expecting this.
Wow. You are 99. So the breakdown here. So 99.9% European.
And that's the number you're reading.
I'm reading that. I'm not exactly. It literally says 99.9% European. I've never seen that. 99.6% Northwestern, 81% British and Irish, 3.5% French and German. And then I love these. You're 15.1% broadly Northwestern European, because they don't, it's hard for them to identify at a certain point where.
Yeah.
And then you're 0.3% broadly European. Hey, fun fact, much of Europe was buried under miles of ice 10,000 years ago. So as the glaciers receded over millennia, Neolithic farmers from the Near East joined Paleolithic hunter-gatherers to settle Europe. So that really doesn't help anything here.
No, it doesn't.
You are 0.1, so that 0.1% is uh-huh. unassigned.
Oh, so I don't even get, I don't even get anything else. Just like,
so
I
they
don't
think
know. They're like,
they think they're
like, you're
1%.
I don't know.
But it's decreasing. They say they're figuring out over time. So they think that as time goes on, they identify more ancestry.
So next time I check this, is going to be 99.99%. Thanks.
Oh, there's 100% of S. Michael Smith here.
That's crazy.
This is fun. Your ancestry timeline's interesting.
Yeah, it's like a straight shot.
Well, the British and Irish is much more recent. The French and Germans, a solid 100 years to 100 and almost 200 years back.
All right. So I got the... Oh, what is this? You most likely had a parent or grandparent who was 100% British and Irish. This person was likely born between 1910 and 1940.
Isn't that ridiculous how, like, weirdly specific they can be with this?
Yeah. You most likely had a third great-grandparent, fourth great-grandparent, fifth great-grandparent, or sixth great-grandparent who was 100% French and German. That's two different things. So,
well, look at what this says next.
100% French and... Well, okay.
No, after that.
This person was likely born between 1730 and 1820.
This is starting to sound like John Edwards. I'm getting a... there's a spirit here. It's for someone with a...
Somebody whose skin color is... White!
I think they're reaching a bit here. Okay.
Yeah. So, did we talk about this last time in the last podcast about the...
charcoal ice cream.
No, not that. A lot of white nationalists, and we are not, to be clear, are doing this.
To prove their genetic purity.
To prove their genetic purity.
Dude, I think you're the chosen one.
I
think if you went on Das Sturmer or whatever and fucking posted this, they would just start sucking your dick. Dude, I'm not gay. I'm a hot-blooded heterosexual white supremacist American, but I will suck your dick because it's so pure. I want that pure white semen in my mouth. Because I'm a pure hot-blooded white supremacist. Give me that cum.
Oh my God. But these tests very often turn out to give these
some pretty
people
surprising.
Some very surprising, yeah. And in their cases, very unwanted results. and it's, I mean, it's the reactions are always try to rationalize it.
Sure, like, sure.
It's just some sort of error in the test.
This isn't me. They got someone else to spit in here.
Yeah. But the reactions of the communities, and some of these white supremacist, white nationalist communities actually have requirements for this sort of stuff.
Really? Like you have to prove?
Yeah. And if you're not up to snuff, if you have too much other stuff in there that's not... me, I guess.
That's ridiculous. Then, you are the chosen one, though. Holy shit.
In some cases, and this gets crazy, you can read about it. I thought we talked about this, but they...
We might have?
They'll go so far as saying, like, you can stay in this group, but you have to swear that you will never have children.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
I know. It's horrifying. And honestly, I was expecting to find a little more variation here. I'm kind of shocked by this still.
I am shocked by your European purity.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I was expecting to find like a much more wider range.
Well, based on
and
your
then
parents,
use that as a talking point to go right. on like and say and see everybody's connected, you know,
nope.
There's no such thing
no,
as
we're
a,
not, Mike.
As a pure anything, but okay, never mind.
You are about as close literally as close to 100% as you can be and not be 100%. You're a 99.9% white.
Well, there we go.
Well, that's interesting.
And I was impressed with what Melinda got, because she was like 90-something percent, but it wasn't nearly 99.9.
I mean, I'm 92% European.
Okay.
But I'm not 99.9% European. That's bananas.
All right, what else we got here?
Traits.
Sorry, their website is a little slow. My DNA family. What is this? Do we want to get this?
I think this is the other people who've done the test who are related to you. Check it, because it'll tell you like how close.
Learn about your DNA relatives. diverse group of 23andMe customers who have DNA in common with you.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, and it'll tell you exactly, like, they're your third cousin or whatever.
This is all blacked out. Do I have to pay extra for this?
No, it's coming. It's calculating. Calm down. All right.
Did you turn this on so you could...
Yeah, my uncle found me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So you have two close family to second cousins.
That's interesting.
Scroll down
and
see who's on here. It might not be as close as they make out, though.
That's funny. I know I have family in Mississippi, and that's one of the lower
it's telling you.
Color ones. I have 5 to 10 DNA relatives who live in Mississippi.
How many in Texas?
I have 85. Because that's where us white folk like to be, I guess.
Yeah, but this is like distant.
Yeah. 45 in Florida. 30 in Tennessee. Where's my biggest place? 85. 100 in California. All right. I'm moving west then. Ancestry, British and... Okay. I have some relatives. Okay, this is more interesting. These are my DNA relatives who are a little more variety than me.
You have 25 relatives with Ashkenazi Jewish genetic background.
Yeah. And that's actually the one that the white supremacists and white nationalists get the most freaked out about when they see that.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I was surprised to find that out.
All right.
But that's like, it's still a Jewish thing with them. And it's...
I guess that's not surprising.
It's just so stupid.
Yes, it is incredibly fucking stupid. But, you know, hate has no intellect.
Yeah. I got 40 Native American. There we go. Finnish. Going down the
Sardinian.
Line.
Sardinian.
What? I don't even know what that is.
Click on it. It might tell you.
Sardinia. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Sardinia is relatively isolated from the rest of Europe. The island is home to not only several bird and reptile species found nowhere else in the world, but also to people who are genetically distinctive despite occupation by a series of groups from across Europe and the Middle East. That's interesting. Sardinia.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about Sardinia.
You'll learn all about all these different areas.
I got to find these five people. My five Sardinian
They might
relatives.
Be really distant.
Compared to the average 23andMe customer, your DNA relatives are 53% more likely to be able to do the side splits. Maybe I'm related to Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, I can't do that.
What the fuck?
But, you know, German, French, whatever the fuck Jean-Claude is.
French.
Is he French?
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, it sounds
French. Sounds German and French at the same
right.
time.
It sounds like both. But you're both.
I know, right?
Or one or the other, we're not sure. Somewhere between 1730 and 1820.
All right, I'm going to take this to mean that I am definitely related to Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes, I agree. There's no other way to interpret these findings. Your muscle type is uncommon in elite power athletes.
Yes!
And you are definitively, I would say, 99.9% likely to have Jean-Claude Van Damme as one of your relatives.
44% more likely to have two differently sized feet.
This is so weird, but this isn't you. This is like these thousand some odd people.
43% less likely to have worked as a lifeguard. What?
It must be a
I have not worked as a lifeguard.
But that's not you.
It is me, though. It is me.
Okay.
35% more likely to have lived near a farm when they were young, and I did.
Again, this is not talking about you.
But it is me.
No, it's not.
That's true for me. 32% less likely to drink espresso drinks. What's going on here? This is me.
All right, John Edwards.
30% more likely to have red body or facial... No, I missed that one. 30% less likely to make New Year's resolutions.
Okay.
27% less likely to have learned a foreign language as an adult.
Your relatives are dumb. Here. Yeah, they are.
24% less likely to be vegetarian.
that's not a 23% surprise.
23% less likely to exercise by strength training. 23% more likely to be able to do the forward splits. What are they?
Splits.
I don't know. 23
why are you so obsessed with splits?
21% less likely to drink energy drinks. I don't drink it. Does a vitamin water count? I don't think that's really
an energy drink. No, that's not an energy drink. That's a vitamin drink.
Yeah. 19% more likely to drink caffeinated soda.
This one I like, the sneezing.
Okay, now I need to go back to traits now. We're looking at traits.
Yeah.
So there we go. I can report to my parents that they are correct, and I am pretty much just Anglo-y, European-y, Saxony white.
Yep.
With some German and French.
Yeah. So they're not knowing.
they were spot on.
They're not knowing was because there was nothing not to know. It was just, yep, this is it.
Maternal haplotype. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, you know what? Go to it and let's see if we have the same haplogroups. I mean,
maternal haplogroup.
It's possible, I guess.
You descended from a long line of women that can be traced back to Eastern Africa over 150,000 years ago. These are the women of your maternal line, and your maternal haplogroup sheds light on their story. My maternal haplogroup is T1A1.
I don't think that's mine.
Survey says.
Got to find it. There's so many. There's so many papers. Haplogroups. Yeah, not even close.
No.
That was your maternal?
Yeah.
Yeah, my maternal haplogroup is H1A3.
All right.
What was your L what? L something?
Haplogroup L.
So I had L for a hot second there in my haplogroup tree.
So L and then L3. So I went L, L3, N, R, and T. All right.
I know. Erica tried to explain this to me. I didn't really get it.
This is too technically.
This is too technically genetic.
Yeah.
Can we get more generally genetic?
Yeah, let's get to some more fun stuff. My Neanderthal history.
Yeah, what's that all about? Do you have Neanderthal tree? 309?
Right. I am beat me. Like really Neanderthal.
You are a super Neanderthal. I only have 281. Yeah, you got 28 more Neanderthal traits than I do.
I beat you on the Neanderthal contest.
You are out Neanderthaling me.
Neanderthals were the ancient humans who interbred with modern humans before becoming extinct 40,000 years ago.
Suckers.
So I have 309, which is more than 90% of the 23andMe customers. So I'm in the top 10... I guess the 90th percentile, is that how you'd say that?
I believe so. Oh, wow.
You got to be pretty high up.
No, it's a big drop off.
Wow.
55%. So that 28 Neanderthal trait difference is pretty huge.
Yeah, there must be quite a steep bell curve there.
Bloop.
I'm in first place out of my family and friends.
I don't think you... Do you have any? Oh, yeah, you're friends with Melinda.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to invite you.
So I have more than... my wife. So the highest is 397 variants. So I did not quite make that.
The highest is how much?
I got to work on it.
397? Holy shit.
It's okay. I'll work up to it.
Neanderthal. Damn.
I'm going to work my way up the ladder. Whatever this game is.
It's a contest and you will win it.
Paternal haplogroup? Let's skip haplogroups. All right. Traits. This is going to be the fun one.
Yeah, this is fun.
All right. Asparagus odor detection. Likely can smell.
You could smell that asparagus in your pee.
I think so. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's very obvious.
Yeah.
It's very clear. Wait, let me...
There are people who can't smell that?
Apparently.
That's crazy.
Let me follow along with these, because I got it open now. So.
You got your... go to your traits. Okay, we're going to compare traits.
Let's compare traits.
It should be the same traits, right?
22? Yep. Hey, Smike, I'll show you my traits if you show me yours. Okay.
Are they actually in the same order?
Yep.
Asparagus, likely can smell. We're both on that. Bitter taste, likely can't taste.
Absolutely accurate, because bitter does not bother me at all.
I thought I would get that because I really don't like beer. I think it's the bitterness in it that I don't like.
Yeah, but do you not like coffee because it's bitter, or do you not like coffee?
No, I don't like coffee because of bitterness.
Because of bitterness? Yeah. So that's just not accurate.
I think it's just not accurate. Sweet taste, likely prefers salty.
I got that too.
I can go that way. I've become less interested in sweet stuff since I've been older.
Me too, but I'll still eat the shit out of sweets. Yeah, that's normal. Yeah. I'll still eat the shit out of sweets.
But when I want a snack, usually I'd rather go for a salty snack.
Okay.
So I'll go with that one. Yeah. Back hair, likely little upper back hair. And I do have a little upper back hair.
Lean forward?
Let me see.
Yeah, I think you have more than I do. I don't know, you tell me.
I you see the problem with this. What the? You see the problem with this contest? No, I can't. I can. We can each see each other's back hair, so that we can't compare here.
What's mine say, dude? Yeah,
exactly. But that looks like about what I feel when I. Yeah, I might have a little more than you.
I think you have a little more,
but than it's me. Pretty close.
Okay.
So are you the same likely little yes. upper back hair?
Yep.
All right. Bald spot. Likely no bald spot.
I cry foul on that.
Yeah.
I also have likely no bald spot, but that's true for me.
Yeah. Cheek dimples. Likely no dimples. I don't really have dimples.
Same here. No dimps. No. Not rocking the dimps.
Cleft chin. No. No.
Nope. Same here.
Earlobe type. Detached earlobes, which I think is...
Likely detached. Yeah.
You have I think yours are more attached.
Mine are likely detached. I don't know.
What does yours say?
Likely detached.
Okay. I think mine are a little more detached than yours.
We're talking millimeters here. I don't know what the criteria is.
All right. Earwax type. This is the big one.
Mm-hmm. Survey says?
Wet earwax.
Same here, bro. All
right.
Rocking that sweet, wet, woo! Sticky earwax.
Yeah. What is your? What color is yours? Is it like kind of a reddy, reddish, no, dark red? No,
not at all.
Oh, what color do you get?
It's like a light brown.
Like, okay, I think that's kind of what I'm talking about.
What you said was red.
Brown and red are really close in my mind.
What color is the shirt?
This is like a maroon.
Okay. At least we agree on that.
Eye color, likely darker eyes.
Same here. Cool. That makes sense.
Finger length ratio, likely ring finger longer. Definitely, definitely. Yours is not.
Nope, mine are dead even.
What does your index say?
Mine says likely ring finger longer, but it's the index finger and the ring finger. Mine are dead even in length.
Yeah.
Now this one, however, is very different. See the difference in my hands?
Oh, yeah. The ring finger on that one is definitely longer.
Ring finger on my left hand, way longer than my index. On my right hand, they're just about exactly the same. Yeah, your ring finger is way longer on both hands?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I got a weird right hand.
I think this one just didn't grow enough.
I got a red right hand. I think
genetically, it was supposed to be like the longer one there.
No,
but
I have someone else's right hand.
Whoa! That's your like 2%.
That's my Neanderthal trait.
The hell? Freckles? Little freckling, yeah.
Same hair. Yep.
Hair curliness, straight or wavy? Definitely. Light or dark hair? Likely dark.
Yep.
Yeah. Male hair loss? Likely no hair loss.
Same here. That seems funny for you.
Yeah, that is way off for me. I started losing hair like when I was in my early 20s.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Did it start as the crown, like the
bald
spot, and then it spread out?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Definitely a strike on, definitely a strike. Newborn hair amount, likely a little baby hair.
We're getting the same results on all these.
No.
Do you have a photic sneeze reflex?
Absolutely. And this says likely no photic sneeze reflex.
Oh, really?
But I absolutely have.
You look at the sun and you grow a bright light and you just sneeze.
Oh, yeah.
Command. That's funny. I don't get that. I do not get that.
I for sure have that. Always had that. Red hair, likely no red hair. Okay. Skin pigmentation, likely lighter skin.
Same here.
You think? Do you think?
Have you seen my ancestral composition here, people?
Toe length ratio, likely big toe longer. And I think they got this one wrong for me, too.
Is that compared to your pointer?
I think so.
Mine are dead even on the right, and...
Yeah, I've got socks on, but even with the socks...
No, mine are... Both of my second toes are longer. Wow, they got this wrong for me.
Yeah, mine tend to be... It's hard to see with the socks on, but... I've seen people with what I consider normal toes, where the big one is the longer, and it just sort of like goes down.
Yep.
And that's not at all what I have.
Nope, me neither.
So they got this wrong for me.
God damn it, 23andMe.
Do
you have a unibrow?
No, I really don't. I mean, I've got a little
everyone bits has in there. Everyone yeah, has but, hair there. I don't look at you and think.
No,
you got a unibrow, bro. Right.
Widow's Peak. Likely no Widow's Peak. No.
Really? That's such a shock.
They are completely striking out on the hair questions here. All right.
So really quick, just to go through some of the stuff you already did for me. So my wellness report, I am likely intolerant for lactose. That's true. Likely similar weight for saturated fat. So just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Unlikely to flush with the alcohol. Likely to consume less caffeine. Definitely got that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Deep sleep, less likely to be a deep sleeper. I think that's true. Genetic weight, predisposed to be to weigh about average. I think I tend to skew up. Muscle composition. I'm common in elite power athletes.
Well, I'm sorry that you're common and I'm uncommon. I think that works in my favor, frankly.
I really don't think you understand what this means. And then I'm likely more than average movement with my sleep movement. So I'm the one who should be beating up your wife in bed while
Wait
sleeping.
A minute.
Wow, that came out wrong.
All right. Well, that was interesting. Yeah, certainly the ancestry stuff was a little bit of a surprise. I guess it shouldn't have been.
I'm so impressed by just that number. The number's so high. That's crazy.
Yeah, we didn't get out much, I guess.
Man, you guys really kept it in the fucking village. Like, all right, go one village over, but not any further. I also have the variant for age-related macular degeneration, but it's not likely at increased risk.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Nothing else. No variants detected.
So are we looking at your ancestry here?
I'm just kind of quickly comparing it to yours. I'm a little cleaner health-wise.
Yeah.
The only variant I have is the age-related macular degeneration. Carrier status, I got nothing, just like you. You had nothing, right?
Got nothing. You got nothing.
I got nothing. We just talked about my...
Little reference to the tick there.
And then, yeah, my ancestry breakdown. I always was told I'm 100% Italian, right?
Yes.
And it's stupid, but I was always like, yeah, I'm 100% Italian. It's cool. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
You are much closer to 100% something. I am not.
Okay.
So I'm 80.5% Italian.
Which is, that's pretty damn impressive, I think.
I guess. It just wasn't what I was told growing up, so it was interesting. I'm 92% European, 90.3% of that is Southern European, 80.5% of that is Italian. I have 1.5% Iberian, 1.5% Balkan, and then 6.7% broadly Southern European.
Yeah.
I do have less than 0.1% broadly East Asian, which could be Native American.
Hmm.
And then I have a solid 1.1% that's unassigned.
Hmm.
I am a mystery. Oh, and then 6.9% Middle Eastern and North African.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
So I would be a white supremacist who is asked to not have children.
I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
North African, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be in a little bit of trouble.
Oh. Man, fuck those guys. Yeah, I think if you have enough sub-Saharan African, then you don't have Neanderthal traits. I think that's the thing.
Okay.
Because Neanderthal traits came from Northern Africa or North.
How did you get to that one?
I clicked on see all the tested regions.
Oh, see all 31 tested populations. Okay, there we go. Okay, here's mine. East Asian and Native American, 0.0%. South Asian, 0.0. Sub-Saharan African, 0.0. Middle Eastern and North African, 0.0. Oceanian, 0.0.
Got me all excited.
I know. Ashkenazi Jewish, 0.0.
Right.
I'm just like, I'm all zeros in everything here, except for Northern European, Northwestern European. That's bizarre.
Oceanian. What is that, Atlantis?
Did you get any of that?
Nope.
Nope. Well, there we go.
So, Smike, what are your thoughts? Tell me what was going through your mind when you learned that you were 99.9% uber white.
It's, the sort of I should be surprised, but I guess I'm not. And it's just so silly that it's. I just had to laugh. I mean, I was certainly expecting something more along the lines with
what your I had. Results. Yeah, just yeah. a little bit of mix, but a yeah. predominant like yeah, one
we'll,
area.
We'll mix out there, but nope.
Well, sir, it was interesting. Thank you for sharing your genetic and ancestral composition and history.
And my genetic.
And your gin.
Drink.
Genetic drink. What is that what you're going to call it? The genetic. The genetic.
Genetic. Yeah. We'll call it the genetic.
The genetic. Just the genetic. It's almost like gin and tonic.
Yeah.
Genetic. Gin and tonic.
Yeah.
I like it. I had a request from a listener to start being more upfront about what the drinks are, because apparently they sound good, and I never
post. I thought I thought we always went over the.
I never post the recipes with.
Oh, okay.
The amounts.
Okay.
So,
this is just a gin and tonic with a lime, crushed into it, and a lime on the top.
I watched you. I'd say you did about two parts tonic and one part gin.
Yeah, sounds about
I
right.
I mean, gin and tonic's a.
Come on, yeah, it's a gin and tonic.
But like the last drink, the drunken nutty Irishman, there was a lot there. So I actually wrote that down so I can get it posted. I don't post it till tomorrow, our time.
This is good though. Yeah. Like I said, with a drier tonic, like a Q tonic, probably that would be.
Something less in your face tonic, more
yeah.
let the drink
talk less for of itself. The Yeah. Mm-hmm. Less of a sweet, a sugariness. Let that cherry and the lime play along.
The lime and the coconut. There's no coconut in this. Yeah. I'm excited to go after this. I'm probably going to have one beer because I'm really excited to have Rosemary's Baby. Because it's a really funny name. But pumpkin ale aged in rum barrels. That sounds awesome.
That sounds very interesting.
It could be horrible, but you know what I've discovered as I've gotten more tricked into these weird, you know, experimental beers that Wegmans will sell for a ridiculous mm-hmm. amount of money? Some of them are fucking awful.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, oh, that's not a good beer. I mean like they are legitimately should not have been sold as a product. One of them is Pumpkin, which is Southern Tier, who normally does really good stuff for a lot of money. I think
it was Southern Tier. No, that's funny because Melinda just came home with a big bottle of that tonight.
Oh, shit. Well, maybe I had a bad batch.
She was all excited about it too. It's like,
I was too.
I got a treat for myself.
Southern Tier Brewery is really good. But the Pumpkin that I had, it was last year's batch. It wasn't this year's batch.
Uh-huh.
But last year's batch. So you know if you ever put too much cinnamon in something? No, because it'll kill you.
It won't kill me.
Okay.
I'm not technically allergic to cinnamon. I just have it gives me
an aversion?
Caustic. No, it's like it gives me kind of a caustic reaction, and it literally like burns my tongue.
So like vampires and garlic.
Sure. It's so not an allergy. It's just kind of a chemical reaction.
You're 99.9% European mystical ailment is cinnamon.
If I had that Turkish bit in me like you predicted from the start, I'd probably be fine with cinnamon.
I was up against some really, really unmotivated ancestors of yours, Mike, all right? Man, the Turkish girls came to town and your ancestors were like, no, not going to happen. But yeah, Pumpkin leaps out of me. So if you put too much cinnamon in something, like it is, I know what you mean by caustic because even I experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
Like when there's too much cinnamon and it does not taste good. It doesn't even taste like cinnamon at that point. It just tastes like burning.
Yeah.
It tastes like burning.
Yeah.
You know, Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Pumpkin tasted like.
Okay.
It was fucking awful. And I paid like $14.
I will definitely not try any of hers.
I would recommend staying away from it. It might burn your insides like drinking molten metal.
So, one last thing I wanted to cover.
Yeah.
We mentioned it after the podcast that we recorded last time.
Okay.
And you, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Nope. Not a clue.
So, we've been talking about games like we do always. And I've been suggesting this game that I thought you might like.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Nier Automata.
Automata. I'd say Automata.
Yeah.
Some people have said Automata.
No. I don't know why you would
Hello,
say
Mata.
That.
Hello, Automata.
Oh, my God. Anyway, it's on PlayStation. PayStation.
PlayStation.
Yeah. And Steam. And it was on sale on Steam. And then I was like, oh, it's also on sale at GameStop for the same, for like actually less for the PlayStation. So I went out and I got it for the PS4.
I would play that on PS4.
Yeah.
That felt more like a console
game. It's a native console game.
Yeah. It's a hack and slash Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And it was really, well, before I get into it, you sort of kind of haphazardly, under a little bit of duress,
recommended it
to someone.
To someone who may or may not, like, decide my bonus amounts and my continued employment at my company. You know, so they not were, just my boss.
But they were pushing you for a recommendation.
And I delivered. And that was the problem. I delivered twice. I'd recommended Witcher 3, and then I recommended Horizon Zero Dawn. And he fucking loved them both because they're amazing games.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, shit, I keep hearing Nier Automata is as good or better than Witcher 3. I haven't played it.
Right.
So he went out and bought it, and it did not go well. It did not go over well at all.
So I don't know if you've asked him this, but...
I did, and he did not.
So,
because he hated the experience of that initial.
So here's the thing with Nier Automata. When you start the game, it takes you through, it just like shoves you through this, what I would say is a tutorial phase of the game. And it's, you're rushed through it. You're not given a lot of anything except, here, go do this. You gotta go do this.
go.
And it's very rushed. And it was, I thought it was fun, but one of the things about it is it shoves you through like five or six different game styles.
Like drastically different. Just
rapid fire. Right. Like it starts as a side-scrolling shooter, and then it like goes to more of a slightly like 2.5D shooter, and then you're in kind of an open world hack and slash. And then you're in, sometimes you go into a place where you're going up ladders and it turns into like a 2D
like Donkey
platformer
Kong?
Sort of game. And then you get into a room and the camera shifts and oh, you're suddenly in a dual stick shooter. And, so it is like, it is just throwing all of these very different game styles at you. And I can certainly see somebody, and it probably takes like a good 2 or 3 hours to get through that part.
Yeah.
And somebody could just be like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with this game, but stop.
Which was more or less the reaction. I think the exact quote that, I have the text actually, I can read it to you. I will read you the text here. Hold on one moment. Because it was definitely, I was like, oh shit, I definitely missed the mark here. So... he has since come back to me for a recommendation, so I didn't completely burn that bridge.
Okay.
So, Nier Automata sucks. Don't buy it ever. He goes, yep, it's like Sonic with better graphics. Felt like I should have put a quarter in first and traveled to 1983.
Okay, and I can get that because some of the game, that initial tutorial thing, is just really chaotic. And yeah, some of the game styles are like, it gets very old school, like jumping up platform sort of bits.
That sounds like you're describing like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, but only just in really small doses. But once you get through that tutorial, it becomes more of an open world sort of, almost like more like a Zelda game, honestly.
But isn't it very hack and slashy?
Yeah, but I mean, that Zelda gets kind of like that too, right?
Okay.
It's like there, you've got the roaming bands of monsters that you can either go and fight or you can just.
Well, hack and slash is like, you know, like Devil May Cry and.
Yeah, it's like that, but it's also got the heavy RPG elements. So you know, you go and you find the camp and you get quests and go do the quests and come back.
I did hear some comparisons,
but there's
to like
there's definitely Bloodborne. A strong storyline,
like Bloodborne, and there was some kind of
yeah. But there's definitely a storyline. It's a lot more, it's a lot more open world, a lot more. The actual combat is more hack and slash.
Yeah, it was a miss. It was a miss. I didn't realize there was such a strong hack and slash element to it. Otherwise, I would.
It's not that hard. I mean, the difficulty and you.
No,
can
it's not about
it.
Hard, but it's about like in Horizon, which again you still haven't played.
Yeah.
Horizon Zero Dawn is very strategic. And like when it gets frenetic, like time slows down and you're like leaping off of rocks and shooting robots in the head with arrows, and it never gets hack and slashy.
Okay.
So it's a very different play style. And Witcher 3 isn't hack and slashy either.
Wow.
So, because it's, you know, more like Zelda.
All right. It's
I'm not blaming you. I recommended a game I hadn't played, which I
normally don't do. Honestly, it's not super hack and slashy.
Yeah, but again, if you have to get through an hour or two of, like, all over the fucking place gameplay.
Right.
You know, like, the director is known for being eclectic and mm-hmm. you know, like, that's, yeah. If I had known any of that beforehand, I wouldn't have recommended the game. That's all.
Well, anyway, it's a cool game. Once I got through mm-hmm. the tutorial, it got a lot more palatable to me, a lot more coherent. I'm like, okay, I'm into this now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. I would recommend it to people who aren't you, I guess.
Yeah.
Who like more of an action plus RPG sort of experience.
Yeah, but that description's too vague. Because that just describes like Witcher 3.
I'm
playing again and I'm loving.
Obviously. I'll let you watch it someday and you can make up your own mind.
Oh, gee, can I? Really? You're going to let me think for myself? I can experience free will? Oh, you hit me with a very expensive laptop. We are buddies in space. You are.
That's Michael Smith.
No, you're 99.9% fucking European. That's what you are.
But isn't that really S. Michael Smith?
You think about that. Yeah, really. S. Michael Smith? Jesus.
And you are?
80.5% Italian and Michael Carassi.
There we go. And we are both lactose tolerant.
No, I'm lactose intolerant.
You were intolerant?
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that.
We are both less likely to have back hair buddies in...
A little bit back hair.
Oh my God.
Back hair in space.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit StolenDress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
Buddies in Space.
Buddies in Space. We're 100% likely to be the Buddies in Space.
Yes.
Can that be a genetic thing we can have them add?
Yes.
And then everyone else fails it. You are 0% likely to be a buddy in space.
There we go. Bam. I can go with that.
How much of that cost, do you think? probably a lot. Hey, H23 and me, can you tweak the genomes here? just tweak the strings. Put the UHVQ9 genome thing here. And
the BIS genome.
Put the BIS genome up in here, but only two people got it. These guys. Yeah, it's not super douchey.
Yeah.
But that's us. Buddies in space. Super douche.